As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. Today is the 21st of June, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bun and Cardigan Show. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again Manny. Where's the Cardigan? James Edwards III of The Athletic. And we are presented by The Athletic. James, you just got back, You just told me you're waiting for your story to get filed. How does that work? You edited. Filed the story. You're waiting for it to get edited. That's how that works.
Yeah.
And posted by the time people are listening to this, it's already up. The most recent words from Troy Weaver, what was probably at the PPE?
PPC, yeah.
I was thinking, yeah, because never mind. What'd you guys talk about? Presumably the NBA draft. What can people read in that story?
Yeah, I mean, we asked Weaver a plethora of questions. I specifically asked him, what does upside mean to him? And I thought his question was very, very interesting. Let me find it.
His answer was interesting.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, his answer was easy. I said, question. Generally speaking, when people talk about a prospect being older, they say he doesn't have upside. If a guy hasn't played much, he might be mysterious and has upside. What are your thoughts on Generally speaking, when people talk about a prospect being older, they say he doesn't have upside. If a guy hasn't played much, he might be mysterious and has upside. What are your thoughts on upside, whether it's age, lack of film, or whatever? I worded that. When I wrote it out, I worded it weird. Hold on.
We understand what you mean. You're good.
Okay. He said, to me, upside is a growth mindset. I don't prescribe to the idea that if a guy is 23 years old that he can't grow, doesn't have upside. There are some guys who are 19, 18 and limit themselves. I've seen a couple players, young players, and said it's going to be a while because he just doesn't get it. It's the mental aspect of it, how a player approaches things, how he's been coached, what's been untapped. It's a whole process of trying to uncover and untap guys being able to grow. But to me, age has nothing to do with that. And I think that's a great segue into the person versus the player when he talks about that, because I think that's like – I think most people get it, but I do think there is, like, I don't know, what do you think? Like, some people joke about it, right? Like, you still see, like, the bed made and stuff like that. I don't necessarily know if everybody gets what he means by that. Like, of course, he's going to draft a player he thinks talented, but I think what he means is, and it goes to kind of what he how he answered the upside question, is when you draft a person who works hard, a person who obsesses with basketball, a person who lives, sleeps in
a junkie, the Sadiq Bey of the world.
Yeah, or grew up in a household where hard work is very much a way of life. Like,
yeah.
I think that leads to people, to players, reaching their upside. Like, I think that's kind of what he means by that.
Sure. My favorite quote that he gave was, I don't know who asked about it. Weaver, when asked about fielding calls about Grant, teams usually call about one of your best players. That's a hilarious quote. I don't know how he said it, if everybody kind of gave out a little chuckle in the room, but that's just objectively funny, because it's such like a yeah, you know, we're talking to people.
It was like how you said it.
You just did, as of this recording a couple hours ago, you just did an AMA on Reddit. Somebody asked you what the likelihood of Jeremy getting traded on draft night, which we'll get into some more draft stuff in just a second. I believe you said like 60%. You gave like a, I think it was like 55 to 65% or something like that. So decently likely then, you'd say.
Yeah. That's just what I think. I don't like have anything on that. Like, I don't have the definitive answer. Yes, Jeremy Grant's going to get traded.
I'm genuinely just asking what I know as a tough guy think.
Yeah, it's tough because I do. I just think that they're going to get an offer for another first-round pick. I don't think it's going to be the Portland pick. And I think that the goal is to acquire talent. I don't know if they want to pay Jeremy what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Which is still, what, 112?
I believe the max he can get. Like, maybe they work something out for 100, but that's 4 years, 20. I don't know. Like, I feel like it's going to happen at some point. Am I certain it's draft night? No, I'm not. I'm sorry to be blabbering through this.
When he said that he doesn't expect that the draft is going to dictate the rest of the offseason, does he just mean the idea of like, well, right. And so I'm asking, like, because I think there's a few ways to read into that. What I thought it meant was, let's say hypothetically you go out and get Jalen Duren. That doesn't mean we're not going to go get Mitchell Robinson. That doesn't mean we're not going to go get Ayton. Now, I say Ayton as an arbitrary example. I don't think we're going to go get him. But is that kind of what he means by that?
I think that he has an idea of what the rest of the offseason will look like. And I haven't really prescribed, and I talked about it in the AMA, like, I don't get the sense that Ayton is going to be a Piston.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the sense anymore that Brunson is going to be a Piston. I think last time we talked to Troy before this one, he was like, at this stage of the rebuild, we're in talent acquisition mode. Like, we're trying to acquire talent, and then the next step is to make all that talent gel. So for each question and answer that he gave, I gave like my analysis on it. So for that one, I said, which one did you just ask about?
Asking about the draft will not dictate the rest of the offseason.
Yes. So you said I'm struggling through this pod. I'm sorry. Hold on.
You got it, James.
How much do you think what happens on draft night will influence the rest of your summer? Yes, like you said, I don't anticipate it influencing much at all, to be honest. I thought this was interesting. The last time we talked to him, the general manager said the franchise is still in talent acquisition phase. As it pertains to rebuild, this falls in line with that. The Pistons are going to get the players they feel are the best or worth taking a swing on, regardless of position. Now, there has been the lingering idea that if Murray ends up with the Pistons, that Grant is certain to get traded. This quote doesn't necessarily signal that, though. Weaver left a bit of a mystery with his answer here.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm not – I would not believe him. He could look me in the eye – and ooh, actually, we're going to get to this in a little bit. We're going to revisit this. So the draft is coming up. Draft is on the 24th. We're 4 days, well, as you're listening to this, 3 days away from the draft. So this is the last pod that we can do before that. So any little tidbits, any little nuggets, we're going to try to get in here if there are any to be found. First thing I want to start with is this. We were talking about Jaden Ivey earlier this morning, you and I via text. One thing I did not convey to you is over the last 4 to 5 days, I'm in. I've convinced myself, and I think part of it is because the increasing reality
on
that
Ivy?
I think it's going to happen. Yeah, I apologize.
Oh,
yes,
wow,
on Jaden Ivey. Well, I was never in the camp of like hard no. I was in the camp of Keegan Murray is better. And to be fair, I don't think it's about who's better at this point. It's just the idea. I will stand by saying that Keegan Murray is the best player in this draft. I'm going to stand by that one.
It. And you were higher on Ben Math than Ivy.
Yes, I was. And so now at this point, because there's all this weird King stuff that's coming out, and I do agree that there's not it's important not to read into too much the fact that the Kings are setting up this dinner with Keegan and De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis and that, you know, Jaden Ivey hasn't even worked out for Sacramento. I'm pretty sure Davion Mitchell didn't work out for Sacramento either. And they drafted him in the, what, like nine
and
last year.
We talked
year,
about
so.
This earlier.
I think we should address it. Luka Doncic went out to dinner with the Kings. They didn't pick him. And everybody talks about, well, the Kings might not want multiple guards, multiple ball handlers, because they traded Tyrese Haliburton. And what I say to you?
You unfortunately made an excellent point. Yeah. And you said that over. They got Sabonis out of that trade, and that's really what that trade was about. And it wasn't about not wanting another guard with Haliburton. I'm sorry, with De'Aaron Fox. It was about getting Sabonis.
Yeah, like what if the reason the Kings did the trade is because they want the best player, Domantas Sabonis, and the way to get to Domantas Sabonis was to trade Tyrese Haliburton. So
here we go with this again. Talk through this one.
Gosh, tell Clifford to shut up. Yeah, so like I don't buy that Keegan is a lock to go to the Kings. Is it possible? Yeah, for sure. I mean, he makes sense on paper. He makes sense in terms of just the grand scheme of the draft, I guess. Like, there are people who think Keegan could be the fourth best player in this draft. I like Keegan. That wouldn't surprise me, but I don't think that the dinner and them trading Haliburton or them having Davion Mitchell signals that Jaden Ivey might not be the pick. If I'm not mistaken, Ivey did his availability around the same time Troy talked, and I thought I saw that Ivey said he's only worked out for the Magic and Pistons.
Orlando and Detroit. That's you heard it here first. Orlando,
I don't know if I believe,
is going to take. Is there incentive for him to lie about how many teams he's worked out with? Because is that not then a terrible look for a team that could potentially draft him if he worked out for them, and now they're going to be like, what the hell? You get what I'm saying?
I think it could be more like, I'm just surprised
he's
that
trying to get drafted as high as he can.
Right. So I'm just surprised that the guy who, there's a couple things to this, and I've heard this from a colleague. I have a colleague that believes Ivy could slip. Like slip further than people think. To me, I don't get how a guy who's considered the best guard in the draft only works out for two teams, but he's, that's, you know what I mean, like he worked out for the number one team and the number five team, that's it. Like I know he worked out for Detroit, like I know that's a fact.
Sure. Is it maybe not even about him lying, but about him like purposely trying to control his own destiny here, and him and his representatives are like, we're not going to work out for this team, we're not going to work out for this
team. I think that's possible.
And it's basic. Let's just keep rolling with this and just assume that it's true. If this is true, then a fall could certainly happen, because then teams. But it's like, but here's the thing: is how many teams actually make those decisions, those super consequential decisions based on a workout? Probably not that many.
No, and I don't. But no, I agree. But like Troy said it today, like a workout is just a piece to the puzzle, so like why not just work the guy out? I guess, yeah, so I mean, to me, maybe it is interesting that maybe one, he worked out with Orlando because he thinks he should go number one, and that's like sending a narrative, and maybe number five is he says number five because he doesn't want to go to Sacramento.
And because he's made it pretty clear that Detroit is a city that he would very much enjoy playing in.
Yeah, he said that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Is so it just going into the controlling his own destiny thing. And honestly, if that is the case, then I think that's pretty cool. What you wrote in your story that I told you that I really enjoyed, because I think it's a pretty interesting way of framing how he could fit with this team, is him and Cade being the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown blueprint of my turn, your turn, in having that duo. And I like that. I like that a lot.
You like the idea of that, or you liked how I put those bars together?
It's, well, yes, the latter. Okay. I thought it was a very smooth way of saying it, but also because I think it's the best way that I've heard somebody quantify what his fit on this team could be like, instead of, you know, really trying to break it down and be like, well, he can do this thing for this player and then do this thing. I just think it's my turn, it's your turn, and that's what we would get from Jaden Ivey. I am still in the camp of he can't fucking pass.
Yeah.
Even if we draft Jaden Ivey and I'm gonna go to war for him and I'm gonna love him, he can't fucking pass.
I don't know if I'd say he can't pass. I just don't know if I believe that he can make the hard read. Like, I think he makes the read the obvious read, but does he make the hard read? And with Cade being a destined to be a good spot-up shooter. You want to be able to have your other facilitator be able to take advantage of his skill set, which is going to be spot-up shooting. So I also don't know if I love the your turn, my turn thing. Like, Boston's offense didn't look great at times. And I also just think, like, of course Ivy can improve at this, but, like, he was so bad in the mid-range. And, like, you watch the playoffs and you watch the finals. Like, what made these teams great? Like, Steph wasn't just hitting threes and layups. Jaylen Brown wasn't just hitting threes and layups. Like, if you're going to be a ball-dominant guard or wing, I'd be a bit worried if you're only threes and layups. And, of course, he can develop maybe into a mid-range, be able to create shot in the mid-range. But when you get to that level of basketball, you have to be able to score from everywhere on the floor. And, again, Ivy might get there. But if you're just looking at where you want Detroit to go, you would want the – if you're going to draft a ball-dominant guard, you need him to be able to score from everywhere on the floor. Cade can score from everywhere on the floor.
Yeah. If we had to keep going down the list, it sounds like the Ben Math train is definitely picking up some steam. There's definitely some poetry in that. I think it would be pretty hilarious if we spent all these months, you know, people going to war for Keegan or Shaden Sharp, which thank God that went away. We can just call it what it is. That was ridiculous. Thank God that went away.
You never know.
I'm you know what? You're right. But I'm happy that people are just collectively kind of like,
you mean
the
fan base. You know what? Like, I don't think that means the Pistons are out on them. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been very headstrong and not wanting to go down this rabbit hole with people. So I'm not going to start now right before the draft. And then in a week I have to sit here.
I think
and be
the
like,
rest of the league,
Shaden Sharp is a Detroit.
This is just me talking to people. I think the rest of the league has no idea what Detroit wants to do. I think the stuff that was reported before the finals. I'm not saying that the person that reported this didn't hear this. I'm not saying he made it up. I definitely think it came from somewhere where it says Detroit is one of the teams eager to move up to number four. I just don't. Troy just told us he likes 7, 8, 9 guys.
Yeah.
To move up one spot, you'd probably have to like Jeremy and 5 for 4. I don't think that's necessarily good value. Like, I just don't. I think if Detroit moves up, it's because, like, a Chet fell. I don't think Detroit – this is just me. I would be surprised if Detroit moves up to take Jaden Ivey. I'd be shocked.
I'd be shocked if they moved up to take Keegan. Just because I think that the depletion of assets that would occur and having to do that, it doesn't – Keegan Murray isn't good enough to, you know, warrant – having to give up any future capital or anything. I say that while saying he's the best player in the draft. He's not LeBron, though, right? He's not Luka. So
you'd be against Jeremy and 5 to move up to 4 to take Keegan.
I don't think you need to do that because at that point, I'm content with taking Jaden Ivey. I'm content with taking Benedict Mathurin. I'm content with taking Dyson Daniels, even though what I said to you is if you take Dyson Daniels, Killian's out of here. He's not getting another contract.
I mean,
maybe he'll get one more, but
my thing is, I think it just makes sense in terms of value. Like, yes, you get rid of Jeremy and you moved up and you got your guy Keegan, but like, you could also just take who's there at 5 and then turn Jeremy into another first round pick. Like, I just
go get Mark Williams, the second best player in this draft.
All right, you got to relax.
I like Mark Williams. He's not the second best player in the draft, but I like Mark Williams.
I also want to clear this up. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Everybody thinks like I'm like Keegan Murray is like my guy in this draft. Like if who was my favorite prospect in this draft?
I think it would be Benedict Mathurin.
Aside from Chet,
yeah,
it's Benedict Mathurin. I'm a big
James texted me at 4 o'clock in the morning the other day. He said I can't sleep. I'm watching this Benedict Mathurin tape, man. Didn't actually do this. I'm kidding.
But you know where I want Benedict to go.
Portland.
No. Did I text
you? New Orleans?
Yeah, New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh, that would be my new favorite team. That'd be my league pass team.
That would be
CJ, Ben Math, Ingram, and Zion. Fam.
Some Kyra Lewis lob action in there. I'm on board with it.
Sick. Like, I'm sitting here naming all these dogs, and then you come in with Kyra Lewis. Like, what are we doing?
He's an Avery Johnson product, man. What am I supposed to do? Well, not an Avery Johnson product, but he was an Avery Johnson recruit. Which, because Avery Johnson had gotten fired by the time Kyra.
Yeah, that's all great.
Yeah.
Don't.
So if we keep going down the list, what I was going to say about Benedict Mathurin, and then I derailed myself, was it would be very poetic if we spent all this time bickering over a bunch of players, and then the one player who everybody was like pretty cool with was Benedict Mathurin. Everybody was like, everyone can get there collectively.
Yeah, I agree.
If that's the guy that we end up picking, I'd love it. And I was watching some of his stuff earlier, just kind of trying to, you know, do some visualization, do some meditation, manifest Benedict Mathurin on my basketball team. And I really enjoyed the prospect of it.
I think, and I mentioned this in the piece, which just went live. Troy saying they obviously want to pick a guy who they think will be good long term, the best player long term, but they also hope, the hope is that player can contribute now. I really think Benedict Mathurin just checks both of those boxes.
I will be fair about one thing.
In my first draft piece this year, after they got number five, I said, I think Keegan and Ben are the two. Like, there's something that still is there that I think Benedict Mathurin has a real chance. The thing with Ivy is I think that...
I don't disagree.
I think that upside might just be the athleticism of that ilk is just too good to pass up. So I think... Naturally, I think whoever's left of Ivy and Murray is the pick. But gosh darn it, I still think there's a world in which Mathurin is the pick.
I will be fair about one thing. I think anybody that you take at five is going to help. Anybody that you take at five is going to make an immediate impact. I don't think, like, Jaden Ivey's not going to have a problem getting to the basket in year one. Well, yeah. In my head, he's not in the mix.
And I mentioned in the Reddit AMA, I don't think I said it on here, that I've said it in writing on The Athletic and here, that Ben Math had a good workout. But I mentioned on the Reddit AMA, like, I think some people realized he had some dog in him. He was barking a little bit, like, in a good way, a competitive way. And I think some people, like, really were like, oh, shit, like, we like that.
I was watching one of the interviews that he was doing at the Combine. It was really one of the first, times that I've actually gotten to see him just talk and just be a guy. Definitely seems like a guy that would be super easy to root for and that I would want.
I agree. I thought he was a great interview.
What was it that you were talking to me about? You had a theory about a conspiracy, smoke screens or something? You texted me the other day about it. I can go back in our text. You said you would bring it up on the pod. Let me go back and find it.
We were talking about the Pistons trading up for four.
It was something about Sacramento. I think you texted me on my birthday.
Let me make sure I can still.
Let me just read it to you. Yeah. It says, I'll say it on the pod. Two theories, and I will say it on the pod. Pistons are telling teams that they want Ivy, so a team jumps them.
These are theories, by the way. Do not report this. Theories. This is not a. These are just theories.
This is 9 o'clock at night. This is the podcast.
Obviously still try to maintain my professionalism, but like, we get a little loosey goosey on the pod. These are just theories. I don't know any of this.
Or Sam Presti told Troy that they're taking Ivy, and the Pistons know one of Chet or Paolo can be there.
That's just my long shot theories. Yeah. What was the first one again? What did I say?
The first one that you said was the Pistons are telling teams that they want Jaden Ivey so that somebody jumps them and goes up to four, so that Keegan Murray is available at five.
Yeah. Yep.
So that guaranteed Keegan Murray is there.
Those are my two ridiculous.
And I responded and I said that I believed the first one. I thought the second one. I don't think that Sam Presti is in the business of helping out his former employees. Doesn't seem like something that he would do.
If he's getting the guy he wants, why would it matter?
Because anybody that Oklahoma City can get is greater than signed Jaden Ivey. Anybody in that top three I would rather have over anybody that we could pick.
Right, right. But
I say that as the guy who said that Keegan Murray is the best player in the draft.
Right, but I agree with that logic, but I don't know that they prescribe to that, though.
And you're right.
They have Shea, great foundational piece. Their other, like, they could use another guard. Oh, they have Josh Giddey. Shut up.
I have Josh Giddey. Now, see, that's why I'm not.
You would rather
have
Josh Giddey than Jaden Ivey? You're a sicko.
Yeah.
Sick.
I have seen Josh Giddey play in an NBA game. Have not seen Jaden Ivey do it. Could I flip on this a week into next season? Yes. 100%. But right now, tried and true. Sealed and signed. She's not my level like Billie Jean, but the kid is mine.
Would you rather have Keegan Murray or Jeremy Grant? We're going to break your logic.
No. Because the questions that I have about Jaden Ivey at the next level aren't the same ones. I think Keegan Murray is just going to translate. I think he's just going to be the same guy. So, right. And I can't say that about Jaden Ivey. So it's different. It's not the same thing. If there's a guy who I'm looking at in the draft who I'm like, this guy is insane, and I think that everything that he does is exactly the same way that he's going to do it, if not better, in a few years at least at the NBA level, which is Keegan Murray, and then this other guy who I'm like, I don't really know because he doesn't have this, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have this, then it's not the same thing. Also, I would rather have Keegan Murray.
All right. Is there any Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So how do you think the top four is going to go? Assuming Sacramento doesn't trade the pick.
Right. Let's assume that we're not going to do trades if everything is just stays the way that it is now. Jabari, I feel like, has kind of just become number one.
Yeah, I think KOC disputed that. I haven't heard anything on that front.
Which I would agree with.
I try to stay Pistons focused. It seems like Jabari might be the pick, but I also could see Chet.
You want to throw your hat in that ring? Well, you know what? Let's do it. The Bunny Cardigan, official stance, Chet Holmgren, number one to the Orlando Magic. And then we're going to go... Houston OKC. At two, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Oklahoma City at two. Oklahoma City, that's Chet. That's free. Oh, wait. We just said he's going number one. Because in my head, I was doing Jabari. So then they're just going to take Jabari. And Sam Presti is going to... I just think Jabari makes too much sense. They all do. The Oklahoma City's not losing in this situation. And then, so we're going to go Jabari and then Paolo.
I think it's going to go Chet, Paolo, and Jabari. I think people are going to be shocked. Yeah.
You think it's going to flip? Does the draft start at four or five?
I was just talking to a coworker about this. Let me read to you what said coworker texted me. I'm not going to say who it was, but I am going to read what he said. He said, people saying the draft starts at four, but it's really because no one knows what the fuck Detroit's doing. I said, I think people are saying that because the Kings could trade the pick. So there's some rant. I don't think anybody in the top three is trading the pick. But I agree.
Yeah.
Detroit is the most mysterious.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
I think I'm going to say four, though, just because there is so much. Look, just because people don't know what Detroit's going to do, I think there's more explosiveness that could happen at four because they could trade the pick. They could go out of left field and take somebody weird, which I don't think they're going to do. I think anybody that Sacramento is going to take, it's only Keegan Murray or Jaden Ivey. Would you agree with that? Unless assuming that the top three is the top three that we're assuming that it's going to be, I think the only two players that Sacramento would even consider taking are Keegan Murray and Jaden Ivey. Well, actually, then I'm proving my own point to be wrong because there are like five players that I think Detroit could take.
Who are the five?
Well, I was using five as an arbitrary number, but I would say Ivy, Murray, Benedict Mathurin, Shaedon Sharpe, out of respect. And I don't believe. But here's how I can explain this.
I felt better about who I felt like I knew I feel like I had a better idea of who Detroit was picking a month ago. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've been doing the best of my due diligence. I think we need to clear up that, like, as close as I am to the team by covering them, like, I don't get everything. And of course, the front office's job is to – they don't want people to know what they're doing. So, like, sometimes you get mixed signals as it gets closer. And, like, I feel less sure now than I did a month ago. I do. I'm not going to lie.
It probably makes you feel real good when you do get a scoop, though. Because you're like, finally, I got some, like, someone's finally telling me the truth. I know for a fact that this thing is true.
Yeah, but like I feel like I have an idea, but I felt better about the idea a month ago.
So what I was going to say about Dyson Daniels is I've now done the thing that, like, a month ago, not even a week ago, I would have said this. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I would have said this. If you... Shout out to Drake for dropping straight up the worst album.
That's my favorite Drake album.
All right. We'll do this at the end. I just need to say this Dyson Daniels point. Because I should see this. Okay. A month ago, I would have said, you can't take Ben Math at five, but you can take him at seven. We'll get to that.
I hate vibes.
But you can take him at seven. And at this point, I don't think you can take Dyson Daniels at five.
Why can't you?
To me, I feel like the value, because I think the value of drafting him that high would be for mainly for his defense.
But, like, if everybody's talking about, so this is my thing, and it goes back to what I was saying a few weeks ago on the pod. Like, Ivy's off the board, right? Say we'll say he went to at four, which I think is still possible, man. Like, Vivek can say all this shit. He wants people to be excited about the Kings. Jaden Ivey's the most exciting player in the draft in terms of athleticism. Like, I think all this King shit.
Yes,
is bullshit.
Agreed.
Like, I think Ivy's very much in play. Do I think they draft him? I don't know, but I think he's more in play than it seems to be getting let on right now. The Kings want to be interesting and they want people to come to games. Jaden Ivey will do that. Now, so say Ivy's off the board. Everybody says at five the Pistons should take a upside swing. Why is Dyson Daniels not the highest upside swing of that group?
Because I didn't see Shaden Sharp play, so he's nice.
I'm just bullshit.
Well, apparently neither did executives, because every single workout that he does, people are... What is he doing at these work... Is he just hanging out at the fucking water cooler? That's what I don't understand. If he goes to the combine and scouts are like, he didn't do anything, and he's working out for these teams privately, and these executives are like, yeah, he didn't do anything. Is he just doing these things where he's just dribbling around cones?
I did stuff in Detroit. I just don't think that people are like wowed. Like, I think he's fine. I don't think people are wowed.
Is Shaden Sharp the what the hell was that fake high school that got on ESPN?
The football team.
What was the name of that?
Yeah.
The football school. I don't remember. This is gonna drive me insane. Is that what the Shaden Sharp experience?
No, there's been too much Shaden
Sharp
slander, I've been doing it because of jokes. Like, it's just jokes, but like, I understand the upside there. Like, he's a 6'6" wing with a, like, what, 6'11" wingspan. I get the nice shooting stroke. I've consistently said that one of the reasons why I'm not yelling at him.
One of the first things I said was I don't want to say anything mean about him, because I feel like if there's anybody in this class that is capable of proving me wrong, I think it would be him in Shaden Sharp, not Dyson Daniels. So that's why I've been trying really hard not to say anything, even though I haven't done a good job of that. But I can just see it. I can see in 8 months when he puts up a 35-12 game and everyone's going to be like, look how stupid you were, 100%. Okay, that was our draft stuff. You got any other – if you had to make the pick right now, do your order. Well, you kind of already did, I guess.
My gut is – just to leave myself some room – my gut is whoever of Ivy and Murray is available will be the pick at five.
Yep.
If the Pistons did their intel and their background and it didn't come back favorable in terms of drafting the person as it regards to Jaden Ivy, I could see Benedict Mathurin being the pick. I still could see Bennett. I think one of those threes will be a Piston come Thursday.
I have to throw my hat in the ring on somebody.
And then they're going to draft Shaden Sharp.
So what's my punishment if that happens?
You don't get a punishment. I'm just saying, like, I'm...
No, because I've been too disrespectful, so I have to... I will.
You have to get a Shaden Sharp jersey.
Easy. Done. I'll get two. I'll buy every... I'll buy the home, the away, the teal, whatever else they do. I'll buy all four Shaden Sharp jerseys.
That's a lot.
I'll do it, because only if they do it.
Give two of them away.
I'll give three of them away.
All right, give three of them away.
I'll buy four. I'll keep the teal.
Now
I can't keep the teal one.
Now everybody for the next 48 hours is going to be rooting for Shaden Sharp to be the pick.
I kind of am too, because that'd be kind of fun. Maybe I should just do that anyways.
Now you're rooting for Sharp to be the pick? What would be fun?
To do like a... Oh, the giveaway? I don't know, whoever we draft, I should buy a jersey and give it away to somebody.
Yeah. That'd be cool. That'd be a fun giveaway.
So, I had a lot of time on my hands over the last few days to do some thinking. Took to Reddit. And I thought about asking you this and just doing a bit about, you know, like just you on the show. Mm-hmm. And then texting you beforehand and giving you some time to prep for it. And then I was like, well, why don't I ask the lovely people of the r/Detroit Pistons subreddit. If you were able to ask Troy Weaver one question, hook him up to a lie detector test. One question about his tenure so far, and you will receive an answer that is 100% honest. You get one question. Uh-huh. You get to know anything you want. What are you asking him? And James, while I give you a second to think about that, let me read you some of the wonderful responses. Thank you, everybody who participated in this, even though you guys probably didn't know that it was going to be on the show.
Are we going to get sued?
No. All right. It's a public forum. It's the town square.
That's true.
BB Davis 32 asked or wanted to know if he intentionally waived enough people / money so that Blake didn't qualify for the amnesty. And I said that may go under the radar as one of the more hilarious questions that you could possibly ask. But here's the thing is, I don't think that that's true, because at the end, Blake even gave back some money as like a, hey, thanks for doing this. So they ended on good terms. So I don't think there was anything funny that went on in there.
Yeah.
Obviously, the one thing that I expected there to be more of, but I think there was only like one or two responses, was the first one that you probably thought of listening at home. Do you regret the Killian pick? Because obviously Halliburton was still on the board. I think most people would be interested to know, not so much if he regrets it, but, you know, just sort of what his very genuine feelings are on that right now. Mm-hmm. Why did you give up Bruce Brown for nothing? Which is a great question. Because if
have
you want to...
Have I not talked about that on here?
So John and Musa and the least favorable at the time of 4 second-round picks came back to Detroit in exchange for Bruce Brown. Go ahead.
From what I heard, I think it was important for Troy to come in and obviously have a roster eventually that was his own. And then secondly, I don't necessarily know if they soon would have had to pay Bruce. I don't know if Troy wanted to do that. I think kind of similar to Luke, they saw a guy who might be better suited on a better team.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how acclimated Bruce got to Detroit when Troy was there. I don't think he was working out much in Detroit when Troy was hired.
He was in Florida a lot and Boston a lot.
From what I was told. Now, that might not excuse to some people that the return might not have been enough. I would also say that Bruce really didn't like... I think fans tend to overvalue their own players. And like, while I understand why Bruce was fun to people, like, basically Bruce got two... They traded Bruce for 2 second-round picks. Like, is that crazy? It is now, maybe, is when you now, look at it, because you see what he did. But at the time, and based on what he did in Detroit and couldn't shoot and was a second-round pick, like trading getting 2 second-round picks, essentially, for Bruce, like, well, is that crazy?
No. Maybe it's not. But even at the time, we were kind of like, what the hell?
I think it's because Bruce was like a fan favorite.
Yeah, because that man was Detroit.
So if they traded Josh Jackson for Zion and Musa and a second-round pick, are people freaking out? No.
No, there was a lot of Christian Wood stuff. I just don't think we need to do this again. I think you've explained that ad nauseum at this point.
Yeah, and so, I think that showed itself as time went on, too.
Shout out to Luka, though. Luka, got a new toy to play
with. Shout out to Luka Doncic.
This one was my favorite one. One sentence, one small little sentence. What did you say to Hamidou?
Do you remember that? That's in Cleveland.
I would love to know what that conversation was. I'm assuming it was probably in the tunnel or something like that.
Yeah, or the locker room.
There was some conversation. I actually saw that this did come up in your AMA about the story about, I think, which I think we need to stop bringing this up, because until you can actually tell the story, I think it's just going to piss people off.
I mean, I could tell it. It's just I've heard two different versions and I need to figure out which one's true, but I also kind of want to save it for the book if the Pistons win a title under Weaver.
So for those who don't know what we're talking about, this is the why did the Pistons have to give up 4 second-round picks in the Luke Kennard trade, which we will revisit for another day. This one I thought was really interesting. It's kind of long-winded, so I'll try to sum it up as best as I can. Were you trying to strong-arm Denver into taking Blake in a sign-and-trade for Jeremy and Plumlee? Always seems strange that Troy was so quick to overpay those two dudes from the Nuggets, and the money matched up anyways. So
why
was there
Grant an overpay?
I'm reading this man's words.
Yeah. That's fair. Sorry. I don't think people thought he was necessarily an overpay at the time. I think people were just more shocked that he chose Detroit and that Detroit signed him when it looked like they were doing a rebuild. Did people think he got paid too much money?
My immediate response to disputing this is Denver offered him literally the exact same contract.
Right.
And if Denver signed him to that, people would have been like, that's the cost of winning a championship. And no, Detroit's not trying to win a championship, but yeah. $60 million at the end of the day for a rebuilding team is a drop in the bucket. We're fine. Yeah.
And I'm going to write this column if he ends up getting traded. The guy that everybody thought was overpaid and didn't understand why he came to Detroit looks like he could be turned into a first-round pick. So,
you know what would be a fun one? This isn't about his job. Would you have done the Blake trade? Would Troy Weaver, and I don't think he would have. Would Troy Weaver have done the Blake Griffin trade?
I don't think he would have.
You think he would have tried to tweak it in a certain way where we don't get back with Bryce Johnson and Willie Reed? We get back maybe something else?
I mean, maybe, but I just don't think he does the trade. I would love to know who else was in the running for Blake. I don't know that. I don't know who else was in the running for Blake at that time.
Phoenix, Phoenix had to have been. They were trying to give him $200 million that summer.
Yeah.
And then they
But he was, injured the start of the year, I believe, that year.
Yeah, and that was the same summer that Steve Ballmer put Blake's jersey up in the rafters.
Yeah. That's a great question. I don't think Troy would have done that trade. But it's easy it's easy to say in hindsight.
Unfortunately, that's a weird question to ask him, so you can't just kind of offhandedly. Maybe before a game next year or something, if you guys end up chopping it up or something like that, you can kind of throw that out there. FaceTime me in, and I'll ask him it. What was the first thing that he said to Rodney Magruder after the Bull Bull trade?
Good to see you.
Yeah, man, I heard those Denver coaches really did some good stuff for you in the 2 hours that you were training there.
There's no way that's what somebody really wants to know if they could ask one question, but that's funny.
I think some of this was people looked at what other people had said and didn't want to just repeat stuff, so they were just throwing stuff out there. Are rival GM trade proposals as bad as fan bases when they initially call? That's a fun one.
That's a good one. I would want to know something like that.
I chimed in.
What's the worst trade you've ever been offered?
Right. Mine is a little bit more non-serious, is the one that you and I talk about sometimes, which is like, is the trade block a thing or is it just a Slack chat?
I told you, I need to find out. Like, if
please
the GMs
ask
have
that.
A Slack, I'll ask around.
I'm convinced that's what the trade block is. Is they have a channel on Slack?
Because I don't think everybody. I'd imagine if a new GM gets hired and maybe he doesn't have the relationships with the other GMs, maybe he came up through the G League, was an assistant GM or in the scout. Not everybody knows each other well. I feel like there's an email sent out hey guys, this is the Mark Callaway's number and email, new GM of the Seattle Supersonics, and everybody has it. But I also feel like there might just be a Slack and people get in and out. That'd be such a great story if true.
Because it's not like it's like a group on Facebook or
no,
Meta.
It would be Slack. Yeah, it would be Slack.
Has to be. Okay. I'd be curious why he thought those ridiculous Oklahoma City teams failed to win a championship and what he learned from it. That is what is interesting to me, is what he learned from Oklahoma City.
I've asked him that before, but it's not my place to say it. I think I've asked him that before.
He probably learned drafting Russell Westbrook good. Drafting Mitch McGarry, not so good. Worse. And he didn't love that. Guy said, I know I'm bending the rules on the his tenure so far thing here, but did he think the original Harden trade was a good idea at the time, and would he done it if he were the one that were in charge?
I've never asked him that. It's a good one too.
I think in retrospect,
and knowing him the little bit I do, I think he would say no. He wouldn't have done it. But I don't know that. It's definitely interesting. That's an interesting question. You would think in retrospect, anybody who was part of that trade would say no.
You know, unless your name was Daryl Morey. Yeah.
If Daryl Morey could do that over, he would do it.
Daryl Morey would do that trade 100 times out of 100.
I meant on OKC's side. You confused. I was thinking Sam Presti.
How soon after starting your job did you know that you would trade Sekou? To this one, I was kind of like, I don't even know if it was specifically about Sekou so much as it was just about everybody on the team that wasn't drafted by Troy Weaver, which was everybody.
My guess was pretty soon after taking the job. I'm not even trying to be funny.
In his interview, he was like, Ed, why did you take this guy? What are you doing?
Probably talk with Dwayne and...
All right, that wraps that up. So if you had to ask Troy Weaver a question, you get to know anything that you want. What are you asking him?
I kind of like the approach of, like, what's the worst trade you've ever been offered? What's the craziest thing? This is what I want to know. What's the craziest thing you've been offered for Cade? I have, like, four or five.
I thought you were going to say just in general, and I was like, well, we already know that Monty McNair was like, I'll give you Marvin Bagley for Sadiq Bey. That has to be the most insane thing that he's been.
I bet you there's been crazier things. Like, I bet you I would, some for Cade. I would want to know what the craziest offer was for you, the number one pick or Cade.
Yeah.
I'd want to know what did he say to Isaiah Stewart after the LeBron situation in the back?
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't want to know that. I would want to know. Nah, that's not good enough. I wouldn't want to know that. I would want to know.
I think I would just want a minute by minute. Like, was
yeah,
he
I would
like,
want like film more so right. than like what was said. Yeah, I would just want
right,
to
like
see
what
it.
Like what was going on back there. Like, did they lean over to, I don't know if maybe he was, you know, in the bathroom or something when everything happened. They had to knock on the door and be like, Troy, you got to get out of here. There's something going on the court.
Troy usually sits behind us with his. I remember vividly seeing him come down. He sits in the corners of the arena, like kind of like there's always, you know, you can get tunnels that go like where the visiting team goes. Yeah. There's one on the other side where it's like for the entertainment and stuff. Him and his crew sit above that. And I just remember him walking down and walking on the court and with the
wolf dude. Okay, so that does that. Let's transition very quickly. Here's my thing, man. Here's the problem. Okay,
are we going to Drake?
Hold on.
Let's finish up. I feel like we need to. Are we going to record after the pod? Do I need to take it with me to New York? How you feel?
Oh, you are going? I was going to ask if you can do that. Okay. This is good that we're working this out now. It's actually bad part. So here's the thing. Is if we do a show after the draft, what are we going to talk about on Tuesday? You know what I mean?
We can go more in depth. Well, I'd rather just do a pod to talk about the first round pick than if something like happens or they pick somebody in the second round, the person will interview after then. Troy will have interviewed again. Also, I think people just want to consume stuff right after the draft.
That's valid, actually. Okay. All righty, ladies and gentlemen. What's the draft? Friday? Thursday?
Thursday.
Thursday night or Friday morning, we will come out with a draft pod. Yep. And then we'll also drop on Tuesday then. Okay, there we go.
Maybe we won't, but we'll have something right after.
Yeah. Got anything else?
Are you in agreement with me that either Ivy, Murray, or Mathurin will be a Piston, or do you think somebody else?
Sealed and signed. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. We've been firm on that for a while now.
Rank those three.
In terms of who's the best or who I want the most?
Both.
Who's the best? Murray, Ivy, Math.
Okay.
Mathurin. Calling him Math. You have to say Ben Math. You can't just call him Math. So
But okay, so that's who's the best is Keegan Murray, Jaden Ivey, Benedict Mathurin. Who I want the most, Keegan Murray, Benedict Mathurin, Jaden Ivey.
That's what I figured.
Cool. All right. I listened to, so Drake on my birthday announces that he's coming out with an album at midnight. People yep. know this about me. I'm the biggest Drake apologist in the world. He could say anything and I'm going to be like, that's a bar. Bro, think he John Wayne bars. Gave him yellow. So I gave him Yellowstone's crazy. Here's the thing. He goes on Rap Radar 2 years ago. Drake doesn't do interviews.
Yep.
And he does a 2-hour podcast with Rap Radar where in there they were like, hey, Scorpion was really long. Can you not do that again? And he's like, well, here's the thing, man. And it wasn't great. And he's like, well, here's the thing, man. He's like, these albums, they can't be concise. He's like, I'll never be a guy who puts out a 10, 11 track album. He's like, they always have to be long. He's like, because I have to satisfy both audiences. Mm-hmm. I got to satisfy dance Drake fans and rap Drake fans.
And R&B goes, so, Drake fans, yeah.
Yeah, there's a middle that has to be reached. So coming out with an album that I think isn't, I think it's 13 tracks that rather 12. I think there are only two songs on the entire album that are like different. Like I can say, oh yeah, that's this song. Everything else you could play. And I'd be like, I don't know which one this is.
That's fair.
I think we are. I tell you what, the last song on the album, you want to talk about something where you scrunch your face and suck your That'd teeth.
Be,
and,
the oh beginning my. Beat, the beat he rapped over was hard. Oh when they did the beat God. Switch, I always cut it off when Drake's done rapping. I don't, it's not against 21 Savage. I just don't like, I didn't like the beat switch. The beat that Drake went on was stupid.
I remember sitting there, and you want to talk about an album that was maybe otherwise for most people received, and talk about a happy ending. Oh my God, I've listened to that song 100 times. It's super, super good. But yeah, there's just not much. There's just, I just need more variety from him. I understand and respect and appreciate him wanting to, you know, run the club this summer, like, and he will. He always will. He's Drake. That's what's going to happen. For the people, his response being like, oh, well, you guys don't get it. Just wait and see. And people are even clowning on
people
that.
People are going to wait and see.
I agree with him.
First time they get to a pool party and there's...
Yes.
Let me stop there.
Yeah, but, I agree.
And Flights book, come on. Come on. Everybody's tripping, dude. Like, everybody, as soon as they go to their first pool party, it's going to be like the gif with the six-year-old in the club with the shades on.
Yeah.
You ever seen that gif?
Yes, or I know just, talking about. Yeah.
That's the new Drake album.
It's going to be the, no, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be, remember the video, your favorite video of all time, Mario listening to the Michael Jackson song? When you were like, I don't
Mario
know what he
and
took.
Luigi?
You were like, I don't know what he took, but it kicked in at the right time. When he was like, he had his head down and he was doing everything. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah, he was doing the crotch grab.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was fine. I mean, I had the benefit. I wasn't able to listen to it right away, so all I had heard was how terrible it was. So me going into it, I was expecting it to be awful, awful. It just wasn't. I'm just not going to. I'm kind of getting to the point, though. What's interesting is the more that Drake misses, the more that I gravitate towards Pusha T, who, if you asked me 3 years ago, I despised Pusha T. Yeah. When the story of Added On came out, I was like, oh, I hated
Shout
Push.
Out to Push. The GOAT.
Big One shout out goats. To Push. His album this year was
phenomenal.
Oh my God.
Can I give my thoughts?
Yes.
Okay. So I actually have a lot of thoughts on this. I usually I like Drake. I'm not a Drake stan or like massive fan.
You're not like a Drake simp like I am.
No. Yeah. But I like good music and I think Drake makes good music. Where do I start with this? Let's start here. The biggest critique with Drake is that he rarely takes risks.
Yes.
I think you could make the case that, especially as of late, a lot of his albums kind of follow the same formula. They're safe. They're very Drakey albums. While his contemporaries, Kendrick and J. Cole, kind of tend to stray outside the box and try things. So I want to give Drake, whether you like the album or not, you should give Drake points for actually doing something different.
Do you mean
for
just
experimenting.
The idea of committing to a dance album?
Committing to a whole, and I wouldn't even call it, it's like house, it's a house album.
It's sort of
dance,
a hybrid.
Like of course
sure.
it dance, that's what sure. house music makes you do, but it's like,
yeah.
Secondly, I'm from Michigan, Flint, Detroit cousins, house music,
Chicago and Detroit originated. Like, this is where I always love house music, and I particularly love house music with R&B samples and singing over it. So this shit is hard for me. I love this album. Like, it's literally just groovy house beats and Drake singing. Like, this is up my alley. Secondly, my favorite Drake album before this was More Life, partly because the Passion Fruit, Get It Together, Georgia Passion Interlude,
great.
That yeah. whole run of Drake on the Afrobeat house, fire. Like, my favorite Drake is 2:20 a.m. and Tecumseh Drake, first and foremost.
Yep.
Like, the bars introspective. I shouldn't say introspective. Bars, it's like random thoughts Drake.
Time and City.
Yeah, Drake time. I call it timestamp
yeah.
Drake.
Yeah, yeah. 4 p.m. in Calabasas is the.
That's my favorite kind of Drake, where he's just yep. like, where it's yep. like, it's either like random thoughts, like pull it up in a fleet of Suburbans. Shit is so just, obvious it defeats the
when
purpose.
When he says rich
like,
people shit,
yeah,
I
like
love
just
it.
Swaggy, like he,
yeah,
pulling up in a fleet of Suburbans. Shit so obvious it defeats the purpose. Like, that's hard.
Yeah,
I love that yeah. kind of Drake. But my second favorite Drake is this album, like this kind of Drake, and I got 14 songs of it.
Yeah.
So, me personally, as somebody who likes, I don't like EDM music. There's a difference. Everybody was like, this is like some shit you play at a rave. This isn't.
That's not.
This is
EDM
not
music
EDM.
At all.
This is not EDM music. This is house music. There's a groove. It is. There's instruments. Like, it's just more bass, mm-hmm. it more kick. Like, it just, it's just a little more rapid, but it's house music. So, I love this album. There is only one song I don't like. It's Sticky. Is the only song I don't like.
Literally the two that I like. Literally the two that are my favorite.
You like
Jimmy
the rap
Cooks,
songs,
but Jimmy Cooks doesn't really count because that's not even this album. It's a totally
but
different.
But Sticky
thing.
Is like the other rap, and this yeah. is my other thing. Everybody expected a Drake album, which I talked about earlier. Like, I give him credit for doing something outside the box, but like, this was a surprise album. So like. Mm-hmm. It's not like something he was anticipating. We were anticipating, and he was hyping up for months, and then he dropped it, and this is what it sounded like. Like, I'm not going to be like, if I didn't get the raps I wanted from this album that I didn't even think was coming, like, I'm not mad at it. Like, I didn't even think this was coming. But with that said, I just love this album, and I haven't stopped playing it. And you know me, I'm listening to West Side Gun, I'm listening to Rome Streets, I'm listening to J Electronica, I'm throwing on. Hieroglyphics and far, like, that's just me.
His and hers.
This album, though, I haven't played anything. Flights Booked, fam. That run from Massive, until the end, it's like eight songs. Don't skip one.
I texted you when it got announced. All caps, bitch, what? with about 40 question marks.
Yeah.
And you go, wait, what? With like 40 question marks. And I go, like, with about 40 question marks. And you go, better not be trash. Well, James Edwards III of The Athletic, I'm very, very happy to be able to sit here with you. And you like the album.
Love the album.
Hurt you with a shooting guard. Just let a fella know. I could have you courtside, not the middle row.
And I don't know ladies, if people, I don't think, you have to be, I don't know if people get that. So, can I explain it for people who might not get it?
Okay, go ahead.
Because you have to be there to know. So, most family and friends of ball players and coaches, they sit like a couple rows behind the bench.
Yes.
Right. Like, the literal, like, they're in the first section, but they're probably like 7-8 rows up.
Yeah.
That's just usually where family and friends sit. You go with Drake, you don't got to sit in that section. You can be on the court. Like,
courtside, yeah.
Shout out to Drake. Flights Booked is so hard, man.
This is, I think, the most extensively that we have actually talked about an album. That's on a show where we can. I love it. I love that this album does that much for you. Genuinely.
Yes. This is by far. I skipped the least amount of songs on this. I only skipped one song.
Wow. I'm just waiting. Give me Scary Hours 3. If that's he said that apparently that's the thing that's coming. I'm
assuming
we're going to get.
Yeah, I have a theory that next week he's dropping a rap album.
This
week. I have a theory this week he's dropping a rap album.
Like, so there's time and place. You said, what, timestamp Drake?
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to steal that from my vernacular. Thanks. Timestamp Drake and, like, no friends in the industry Drake. But here's the thing, though.
See, I don't like that Drake.
No, but here's why I kind of don't anymore is because when he's talking about like, oh, you don't want to disrespect me and you don't want people can't fuck with me, but they can though. Push did it on a very public stage and you fucking backed away. So I don't want to. I don't really want to hear that. But timestamp Drake, sealed and signed. She's not my lover like Billie Jean, but the kid is mine. I've said it three times in this episode. Literally, that is what I like. James birthday track,
March 14th, as it were. Yes.
Yeah. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen. How long was this? Okay, we're approaching about an hour. Ladies and gentlemen, if you made it this far, thank you very, very much for listening. We will catch you guys back at the end of the week. We will have a draft episode out.
Live from New York City.
Live from, it's at Barclays, right?
Yes.
Shout out to Barclays Center.
Shout out to Brooklyn.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will catch you guys.
You should fly out to New York.
Could I do that?
No, don't do it.
I could. Well, but then what? You're going to be at the draft and I'm just sitting there twiddling my thumbs at the Sheraton?
You could just walk around. It's New York.
While the fucking draft is going on?
Yeah, you can just watch it from your phone. Your Twitter is going to tell you the draft before TV.
I'm not on Twitter.
Dude, you gotta quit the shtick. Everybody knows.
No. But I'm on there, but I'm not like on there. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. I don't open the app. But here's the thing though: is I stopped. I'm not. I refuse to be on Twitter during the draft because they just need to tell them to stop. They need to tell Shams. They need to tell Woj, knock that shit off. I just want to be able to watch and just talk about it. I don't. It's not. Why? Why do we have to do this?
Get rid of the draft.
Are we about to do another 30 minutes on this? Why?
No, just get rid of the draft and have the same rules. Like, get rid of the show and just have, you get 5 minutes to make your pick starting at 8 o'clock.
I think the production is also for the player too. Cause it's
What I'm saying is stupid. It's for like, it's a ceremony. It's celebrating and honoring the ESPN. There's commercials. They get money. It's stupid what I'm saying. But I also, like you, do not really enjoy watching the draft on TV because it's ruined on Twitter.
Defund the NBA draft. Is that the official stance of the Bun and Cardigan show?
Oh, man. That's
abolish the draft?
There we go. Eh.
Did you watch Hustle yet?
No.
Watch it on the plane.
Ask me when I will. I'm not watching it on the plane. I'm leaving at 7 in the morning. I'm going to sleep.
Why won't you watch it? Why won't you watch it, period?
I don't know if I care. I don't know.
It's a fun movie. I think it is. It adds Boban's great in it. So there you go.
I believe it. I just.
Mo Cheeks is in it. Dave Yeager's in it. Come on, James. Lethal Shooter. Come on, James. Adam Sandler. Come on, man.
All right, I'll watch it tonight.
Jose Calderon.
Is he really? It's
briefly. He's one of those, like, he's in it, but like I'm telling you, dude, name a player. They're in the movie.
Sean Livingston,
unfortunately, is not in the movie. A current NBA player. And I give LeBron credit for not putting himself in it because he produced it or executive produced it, whatever it is. I give LeBron credit for not putting himself in that. We did not congratulate the Warriors.
Are there any Pistons in the movie?
No. Is Grant Hill in it? Maybe. Maybe no, Grant Hill might
Pistons.
Be. No, come on.
You said name a current NBA player.
I don't know. Sadiq Bey did mean tweets for Jimmy Kimmel. Did you see that?
I did.
Yeah.
That was funny.
It's like the third time I've ever heard Sadiq talk. Period.
I think Sadiq probably did the most post-game interviews last year.
Well, I'm not watching those, though. I'm just reading what they're saying. Yeah. That's true. Jesus. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen.
Was this a good pod or a bad pod?
I'm so excited to find out.
I started a little rusty because I was like trying to get work finalized and talking at the same time, so I apologize.
The Warriors
buried the lead. Congrats to the Warriors.
In NBA Finals history, the Golden State Warriors are 2-1 on my birthday, and those two wins were both finals clinching. So part of their dynasty, half of their rings have come on my birthday, 2015 and 2022.
Can you wrap it up so I can say – whoa, pause. Can you close the show so that – can you close the show so that I can say something reckless as we exit?
Oh, man. That was one of the best ones ever.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Damn. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars. Leave a review. Subscribe if you're feeling generous. If you're listening to this on if you're listening to this on Spotify, you can also leave 5 stars. We will catch you guys in the next one.
Steph is better than Magic Johnson. Peace.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.